There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 107 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, hour number two, gets us some local, breaking news. I don't know really, other than what's happening, I don't know the full story. So this is, but just say, it looks like some sort of chase with law enforcement, 65 northbound, and maybe as I talk about this, there's somebody out there that could add even more detail to this. Northbound 65 at mile marker 35, a chase that had just taken place here in the last probably, 10 minutes or so, Dalton, that's going on. We'll hopefully have more information on that as law enforcement, involved in this, 15 vehicles or so in this chase. As we get more information, we'll pass that along. Also, there's the Joe Biden. I love this. So here's the headline. Joe Biden will announce run on Thursday. So basically, Joe Biden's announced he's running for office. It's the announcement's going to be Thursday. So really, the announcement is today. So Joe Biden moving into the, he wanted to be part of that town hall and didn't get to be part of the CNN town hall, so he figures he might as well announce. And we'll get into some of that in just a little bit. Also, that discussion from this morning about this idea of having currently incarcerated felons voting in elections. I'm not talking about people who serve their debt to society and get out and restoring their voting rights. No. This would be people for any crime. Think about the worst crime. They're in there and they can vote. That's what some of the Democrats running for president in 2020 at least say they believe. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. Also in state news, of course, the story du jour, even though there's so many pieces of legislation bouncing around in Montgomery right now, the one that has most people talking because it's a low-hanging fruit, it's easy to understand and have an opinion on, I get it, the lotto. What's going to happen here with the lotto bill? And I will say this, let's try to go down, God forbid, we try to go straight down the middle and talk about this factually, because I'm looking around the state at some different news, and I'm air quoting news blogs out there, and they are taking their sides and calling one of the either this lotto bill is the worst thing that ever happened and their lotto bill is the best thing, or vice versa, depending on the blog. It's very funny. Basically, the breakdown between the two, I guess you could say, competing lottery bills. And let me point out too, these are two-parters. So the first, people say, oh yeah, that lotto bill. Kinda. So the initial bill will be a constitutional amendment, right? So you have to change the Alabama Constitution to make it legal for there to be a lottery in the state. So that's the first part. So if this passes, one of these two bills passes, one of them, because there's a chance neither of them will pass. It's not a sure thing. But if one passes, what we'll see on the ballot in 2020 is, first of all, to say yay or nay, or yes or no, but yeah, make it fancy, yay or nay, to a change to the Constitution of the state of Alabama to make, and they'll have the language in there, to legalize lotteries and however they use the term. Okay. The second bill that will come with that will be, what does this thing look like? How does it work? What are all the parameters for it? Okay. So number one, let's take both bills, the McClendon bill, Senator McClendon's bill and Senator Albritton's bill, both at part number one, bill number one will be very, very similar. Okay. They are to change the Constitution to allow for lotteries. All right, so then you go into the details, right? Devil's in the details. And the simplest, even though there are a few others looking at these, a few other takeaways, the simplest difference is whether having a paper lottery only or having a paper and electronic lottery. Now, let me argue for, because it's easy, the All Britain bill definitely has more support right now, and we'll get to that. But let me argue for the McClendon bill for just a second, and I'll argue the same for the All Britain bill. But the McClendon bill says that it is greenlighting digital lotteries because it wants to be ahead of the curve. Like so many times we play makeup in this state, it wants to be ahead of the curve. In other words, will we... In today's, look at technology. Look at what you do right now with your smartphone. Is the idea so outlandish that you wouldn't go down to the store, the place of business, to get your scratch off or to get your, what is it, quick pick thing? You wouldn't have to go down. You know, now you go down and you go down to the store and you get your Slurpee and you get your whatchamacallit and you then you get your lottery ticket. And either you physically scratch off that thing or you fill out the numbers and you wait till what is it Saturdays, right? Saturdays they do the drawing. Okay, that is what they call the paper lottery. But is it too far to say that in the future technology may be knocking at the door to say, hey, we can do this on your smartphone, that you can hit an app, and on that app you can hit the thing that says here's the numbers I want to play, and then you get a return receipt or something like that that gives you your lottery numbers and you're locked in. So the McClendon bill opens that up. Now the problem with that is, the nuance of it is, in the reading of that, that also opens up or greenlights the ability for parimutuel betting facilities, other places, to have the same way we have digital bingo, to be able to have, I think they call it digital lottery, which will just be a slot machine. I mean, let's just call things what they are, because we're so silly in this state. Either we should just ban all gambling of any sort or just say, hey, people want to gamble and then move forward from that. So it would green light, at least in the eyes of many, Green Tracks and others, to be able to run a digital lottery, right? So they'd have another kind of slot machine-esque thing to run. So that's McClendon bill. But I will say, I mean, just in some defense, and I don't know the spirit of it, I don't know what's behind everything, but the spirit of it would argue that it is maybe being forward-thinking, that instead of having to address this in 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, the language to be able to deal with it on a digital, you know, basis or an app or a website may be something to do. Okay, then the All Britain bill, which is they call the clean bill because it is specifically dealing with paper lottery. In other words, scratch off tickets or go down and fill in the Scantron for your favorite numbers or whatever to play. So that's the one, and the one that seems to have the most traction right now is the All Britain bill. I would caution, though, and we'll see, Montgomery's a strange place. From what I'm hearing, though, is there's a chance that neither bill is going to be a home run. So and remember, the two have the similarity of changing the Constitution to allow for a lottery. The next part of it then would be, what does that lottery look like? And that's one of the things being debated in Montgomery today. We come back, we'll talk more about that. Also, take your calls, 343-0106. And you know what? Speaking of calls, Dalton, can we handle it back there? Caller number 6 right now, looking for you at 343-0106, because I got a pair of Jim Gaffigan tickets. His show's at the Wharf Amphitheater, May 11th. Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster.com and the Wharf box office. But caller number 6 at 343-0106. 343-0106. Caller number 6. Tickets are yours. Good luck. Coming right back. Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. All right, that was something we mentioned a couple minutes ago about that car chase now. And that was at, I think, mile marker 35, northbound 65, where the chase was going on. Now a report, thank you, right, saying that exit 45, that car is on fire in the woods, surrounded by law enforcement. As we get the details on that, we'll pass along. But that looks like that's that same chase that was going northbound on 65, has a vehicle in the woods on fire and has law enforcement surrounding it. So we will pass on new information when we get it right here on FM Talk 106.5. And also, let me say congratulations, Jim Gaffigan tickets. And it's Daniel from Alberta. Good work, Daniel. Picked up those tickets. Another shot at winning tickets to not only the Gaffigan Show, but also the Brian Adams Show. That comes up tomorrow morning during Mobile Mornings, sometime between 6 and 9 tomorrow, right here at FM Talk 106.5. Also, I've gotten questions here on the text line and on my email. More questions about the conversation I had with Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino. You know, you can go to our, go get the podcast. We'll post up sometime in the next half hour or so of last hour, right? You go to fmtalk1065.com, click the podcast tab, and you can drop down and pick the show and the day. We do like 40 hours a week of live, local, organic programming. Stuff we make right here in this studio, those are all put up there for you to check out. And so you'll just search through, find the day you're thinking about, the show you want, and the hour of that show, and you can pick it out. Now, the most convenient way is just to have those shows delivered to your phones through iTunes, if you're an Apple user, iTunes, or Stitcher, like someone who stitches. Stitcher is what I use on my Android phone. Also, if you go to Spotify, like where people get music, Spotify's got our podcast on there. Plus the TuneIn radio app, that app you use to listen to us on your smartphone. It also has a place, a repository, fancy way to say, a place where we put stuff, has a place where our podcasts are as well. So lots of places to get the podcast. We sure appreciate so many downloads, so many of y'all interacting with those. Thank you very much. It means a lot to me, and I know the rest of the folks here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, Charles says, do we know for sure that the paper includes scratch-off games or what that paper means? Okay, so paper lottery means anything that isn't digital. The way I understand it, and Charles, I'm not going to try to be an expert in this. I just know what I read and what I ask questions, what I've been told. So the paper can include scratch-off. So paper lottery can be fill in the Scantron or whatever you do, circle the numbers, and in addition, it can be scratch-off. The McClendon bill would open up the ability to have digital. And like I said, to argue, to play, you know, both sides of this, I can argue one side and say, well, you know what? The McClendon bill is at least forward thinking and is saying, hey, down the road, maybe people are going to want to be able to play the lotto on their phone the same way they get podcasts from FM Talk 106.5. Maybe they'll want to do that. So at least so you don't have to go back and re-legislate this at a point in the future. At the same time, you know, people that are worried about this say, well, it opens up at green lights facilities, parimutuel betting facilities, to have, air quotes here, digital lottery, which turns out to be a slot machine. Where the All Britain bill is what they're calling the clean bill, and it is just paper lotto. But remember, both of these will, the first wave of both of these bills will be a change to the Constitution of Alabama. It's a two-part deal. You have to change the Constitution to allow for the lottery. And once you do that, then the second part of either bill, where they're different, will say this is what that lottery would look like. You know, here's the lottery commission. Here's how many board members, whatever. Here's where they'll be sold. Here's where they won't be sold. Here's what we'll call the lottery. Here's the exorbitant fee we'll pay the whoever owns the rights to Skinner Music now for it to say Sweet Home Alabama on it, whatever. I mean, that all that part will be the second bill. Whether it's McClendon or whether it's All Britain's bill, that'll be the second part. But once again, watch this. Well, watch what's happening in Montgomery today, because this idea, at least I've been told, the idea that it was a sure thing that would sail right through quickly may be coming apart at the seams. All right, phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. And yeah, somebody says second police chase. Yeah, I think that was Mobile County. Where was that? I mean, if it's 65, is mile marker 40? I guess, is that in Baldwin County at 45? Okay. Let's go to Thomas and Theodore first up. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, thank you for having me on, Sean.
My pleasure. You know,
this
right now it is.
This lottery
This is like passing a liver stone. I mean, a kidney stone. This seems to be a big problem. But, you know, I've been sitting down at the river there and reading a book, watching the rusty barges go by, and hailing high-speed ferry. High-speed ferry fumes and having visions. And I'm wondering, I was listening to Mr. Elliott yesterday, and he was talking about the lottery and stuff, and saying it's like making the roux, you're making your gumbo.
No, he was doing his analogy. Wait, because we only have so much time. His gumbo analogy was with the ethics bill. Okay.
Grimy okra.
Okay. I was pointing out that it was the ethics bill that had the gumbo analogy. So go ahead.
The ethics bill. It had nothing to do with the lottery?
No, the ethics bill was when he set up the analogy about making the gumbo. Because he knows that I am questioning, you know, when they told us, whatever, 8 years ago that they did the best ethics package reform ever, and now they're telling us they need to amend it, I have my questions. And he says, hey, the bill you're seeing, which is also Senator Albritton's bill, this ethics bill, you might not like parts of it now, but it's just in the they're just now making the roux of this ethics bill. You know I'm going to watch this ethics bill. I mean, it has got my attention. I'm like the cat that heard the can opener start. You know, I'm interested.
Sylvester, you're like Sylvester.
I am interested.
After that bird, Tweety Bird. I know that. But in ending in all this, is it all about who's going to be running and organizing and overseeing the lottery and who's going to be workers and employed by the lottery system?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's all about?
Well, I imagine right now, don't you know that everybody's trying to nudge their way in and set down some little fiefdom of if there's a lottery commission set up, how many people will be on the lottery commission, who gets to make decisions, you know, how do we get a new building, what's it going to be named? I mean, you know that stuff's going on. That was my argument that nobody wanted to hear, is I think we should vote to legalize lotteries, plural, and let private businesses decide if they want to do it. They can bond to a certain amount of payoff money, whatever it is. They say, okay, they're bonded to pay out $200 million or $300 or $400 million, whatever it is. They're bonded for that.
Absolutely, that sounds good. We're getting right into selling alcohol again.
No, that's what I'm saying. Exactly right. It's just like the ABC board. But the difference is here, it's very strange, but it's the way it's done everywhere, right? States are in the business of lotteries. Private entities are in the business of Class 3 gaming. Has anybody ever wondered that? If lotteries are supposed to be, the wine spritzer of the gambling world, the one that's the least dangerous kind of gambling, why government then is in charge of lottery, but Class 3 gaming is in the hands of private corporations? Why shouldn't it be the inverse?
Thank you very much for your time, John. You're a delight. Thank you.
Likewise, Thomas. I mean, I asked this. I knew it didn't stand a chance. But what if Alabama would have done something completely different in this lottery debate and said, the state wants revenue, the people want to play a lottery? Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to amend the Constitution to legalize lotteries. So that part of it, that initial CA, would be the same as the McClendon bill, the Albritton bill. But part two would be, now with it legalized for lotteries in the state, individual private capital can be put together and people can bond. I mean, there would have to be some rules here, show that you can pay out the winnings, so you have it bonded out. And at the same time, you would have a whatever kind of pay-to-play, you know, you pay the state X number of dollars for a license to run a lottery in the state. Okay, you pay up at the start of your lottery, here's your yearly lottery license, it costs you whatever. I mean, I don't know what the market will tolerate. It's $250,000, whatever it is. You pay the state that. Then you operate your private lottery. At any point, you can have your books checked by lottery commission and audit, all that kind of stuff. You're open to that. And then at the end of your fiscal year, then the state has whatever can be determined the market will stand, a percentage of the net that lottery makes. That then goes, so the state then gets revenue, because that's what the state wants, and the people want to play, right? State wants money, and the folks want to play lotto. State gets money, folks still get to play lotto, and the state's not in the business of running the lotto. nobody wanted to hear that, but just kept floating it out there. Trial balloon after trial balloon. All right, coming back, more Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Jill Chenoweth from CEO and President of United Way of Southwest Alabama is going to be on with us, too. We're going to talk about what's happening with them. And always want to hear about what's happening with you. So we're coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 136 FM Talk 106.5, and it's Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. By the way, show on the road looks like next week as we are heading to Montgomery. Like I got a mouse in my pocket. I think that's what my mom used to say. No, I'm heading to Montgomery next week, and I'll be hanging out up there as session gets back in on a Tuesday. Because, you know, usually it's Tuesday through Thursday that they're making mayhem. I'm sorry, working on legislation in Montgomery. And I have a feeling a couple things will be dropping next Tuesday. So I'll be up there with the show. We'll talk more about that going forward. Also, reminder, still getting some emails about this conversation about those earplugs. You want to go back and check it out. The podcast is posted up at FMTalk1065.com. Just click the link for podcast. You can drop down there, pick out Midday Mobile Hour Number 1 for Tuesday. It's there. Or if you're already subscribing at iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify or TuneIn Radio, it's drop it into your smartphone, kind of, in the cloud. It's notifying you in your smartphone right about now, so check it out. All right, I mentioned before we went to the break there that Joe Chenoweth from United Way of Southwest Alabama would join us to talk about what they're doing, and specifically the 2018 campaign. Jill, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate your letting me come speak today.
Now, so first of all, the campaign, is that like the season for United? When y'all say campaign, explain that to somebody like me. What does that mean?
Well, in the old days, we used to run campaign in the fall.
Okay.
And then we expanded to the summer with Paysetters, and that was companies that jump-started, and so we could announce that we had X amount raised for campaign.
Okay.
But now we're in what's called an evergreen campaign, and so we campaign year-round.
Okay.
Because several companies can't do it in the fall, and they can't do it in the summer, so they'll run in January, February, March. We're still running campaigns in April at some of the local companies.
Okay.
And so we'll wrap up 2018 campaign on June 30th of 2019.
And then the next day you start with
the next day we start the 2019 campaign.
Well, talk to folks about the campaign and how, I mean, what y'all are looking for, how y'all get help.
We our goal is $3.8 million, and we're about $480,000 shy of that. So we really need the community, and the campaign does belong to the community because United Way belongs to the community. So we really need for the community to step in and help us raise that last $480,000. The $3.8 million goes directly to our 48 partner agencies in Choctaw, Clark, Mobile, and Washington counties. And about 500,000 people receive services from our 48 partner agencies.
That'd be an unfair question for me to say, well, tell me them all. But,
Don't do that to me,
yeah,
Sean.
I would not do it. So, but kind of explain to me where you might, in our daily life, see United Way of Southwest Alabama working.
Well, Goodwill Easter Seals, United Cerebral Palsy, Mobile Arc, Wilmer Hall, St. Mary's Home, where I used to work,
yep.
Child Daycare Association, I used to work there too. And then in the counties, we have the Arc of Southwest Alabama in Washington County. We have the Arc of Clark, obviously, in Clark County, and many other partner agencies that are out there every day helping people that need help on a daily basis. And so in America, we like to help fund causes,
mm-hmm.
like if there's a tsunami or a hurricane, and they do need to be funded. But people are having their own daily personal disasters, whether it's a child with a disability or a loved one with a drug or alcohol issue. And after-school programs, daycare, quality daycare is very key. Children who've been abused by their parents and have nowhere else to go but, you know, to St. Mary's Home or Wilmer Hall. So it's our partner agencies do a lot of good work, and it's not just good work. They're saving and changing lives every single day.
Yeah, that's one of those things that when you have so many things you're doing, people don't, not wanting to happen, but people don't realize what's being done until it's taken away.
Exactly. And exactly. And unfortunately, campaign has dropped. At one point, our campaign was over $7 million. And I've been with United Way almost 2 years. It'll be 2 years in October. And I've been president and CEO 1 year this month.
So. Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. Some people say congratulations or condolences.
Yeah, well, I didn't but know which one.
It is congratulations. I love this job. And the reason I love it is because I get to meet so many wonderful people who do care about the community and want to make sure that the least of those are taken care of or the people in need are taken care of. Because we're all just 1 second away from something changing our lives. And if we don't take care of these agencies, they're not going to be there when we need them, or a family member needs them, or a friend needs them.
Yeah, and there's, you know, the idea about that we like to, that people like to give for a specific event, and I get that. But the importance of doing day in and day out, and also the importance, I do think it's easier to motivate people, though, to have money in projects that stay at home. Not that we don't care about people suffering somewhere else, but you want to take care of your own.
Exactly.
First.
I act like I'm on television. I'm shaking my head.
Yes, Jill's agreeing with me.
And that's true. And our partner agencies work together in concert. And so if one of them fails, that's going to affect the other 47 agencies. Mm-hmm. For example, Bay Area Food Bank sells, you know, food to our partner agencies for 14 to 17 cents a pound. And that's a huge savings. If you're buying cereal for, you know, at one point, Child Daycare had like 380 kids. That's a lot of cereal to buy. So if you can buy it at 17 cents a pound, that stretches the dollar.
Sure.
You know, Drug Education Council does drug testing for several of our agencies on their clients.
So the agencies are working together. These partner agencies that, while, you know, you've got the campaign going on to fund them, they are also helping out and working amongst themselves.
Exactly.
That's great.
And but we're not only a fundraiser. The United Way of Southwest Alabama is also a community convener. And
okay, I'm a simple man. What a convener? What does that? What
well,
does that mean?
We look at where there are issues and try to pull together partners, whether there are partner agencies or other nonprofits that are not our partner agencies, government entities, business, to try to work on solutions to solve these problems. And we kind of focus on health, education, financial instability, and then the essentials. And essentials would be like housing, food.
What is the overall, if you're looking day in and day out, biggest need in Southwest Alabama? And has that changed, or has it been the same for a long time?
Oh, gosh. I think mental health issues are huge.
Mm-hmm.
And that stems into so many other things, because then you are talking about drug and alcohol use typically. Mm-hmm. You're talking about homelessness. You're talking about children that are abused, abandoned by parents with mental health issues. It affects the workforce. So
it sounds like from what you're saying, though, knowing, and you're talking about how these different agencies and you're coordinating, convening for something like mental health. If there's someone like United Way, like Joel Chenoweth, who knows this, then you can step back and say, okay, if we allocate and work on this mental health issue, it's going to benefit these other things you just mentioned. It's going to maybe, hopefully, let's pray, lessen the need for these other.
And education is another huge thing. I mean, public education is key. If we're going to provide the workers for all these wonderful businesses that are already here and mm-hmm. that are coming, we're going to have a great public school. And
and this is a subject we talk about a bunch on the show. So what can you do, and what can our dollars do if we make a donation to make a difference there?
Your dollars will make a difference because you really are changing and helping people save their lives. The dollars go to, once again, to the 48 partner agencies that are working together, but also so that we can have money to convene people and go after issues. And
like the schooling thing, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
You know, if
so
we agree that this public school, we need to do the best we can. First of all, education, I'm one of these kind of weirdos. The education just for the sense of having educated human beings. You know, that
exactly.
I think make for a better world. Then let's move to the pragmatic part. Move from my idealistic la-la land to the pragmatic part of it. Hey, we got need for people to work.
Exactly. And the Labor Council is very involved with United Way, and we have two board members that represent labor. And trying to convince people that not everybody needs a four-year degree.
Mm-hmm.
and,
that's for sure,
and go into a trade, and they are, there are great jobs in Mobile. We're about to start a task force that is going to focus on education in a certain section of town, and we're still in the works with numerous people on this, and it's going to be pulling lots of people together. Once again, government, business, health, education, to target this one area in town, and it's going to be a pilot project to see what we can do, and then hopefully we'll replicate that throughout Mobile County and then into Choctaw, Clark, and Washington counties as well. But right now it's in its very infant stages.
Well, you've got my attention, though. You know, I'm going to bug you on that going forward because I want to see how that works. All right, as people are listening to you right now, what can they do for 2018? And you said $480,000?
About $480,000. We're still running some campaigns. So we're only counting money that's actually in, and we're not doing projections.
Okay.
So we need about $480,000. But, Sean, I did want to also say this. If people are in need, they can call 211. It's a hotline that people can call to find out if they can get services and where they can get services.
And they can, and with all those different partner agencies, it can you can
and
place
and
the people.
It's actually with any nonprofit that's registered with us, and so it's beyond our 48 partner agencies.
Oh wow!
So that's
so
a number
211,
and it's a national number. It's
all
a national hotline.
All right, so they can dial 211, and then once again, people helping you get this $480,000. How they where do they go?
They can go to the United Way website. So it's United Way of Southwest Alabama. It's a www.unitedwayofsouthwestalabama.com.
Okay, very good. And are y'all on social media? Can we find you there?
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter. So I don't do those things. I have a wonderful marketing director who does all of those things.
But they're there.
They're there. All they're right. there and post on a daily basis.
All right, very good. Any closers, anything you want folks to know?
The community is only as strong as its United Way. So, and the United Way does belong to this community. So just asking people to come out and support us. And Sean, thank you so much for letting me come on the air.
Hey, no problem. As always, a pleasure. Jill, thank you.
Thank you.
Jill Chenoweth, who is president and CEO of United Way of Southwest Alabama. And we'll bind you through the next couple weeks how you can help out. And if you need help, that phone number is 211. All right, coming back, we'll grab your text and a couple calls here as we wrap it up on a Tuesday. Phone number, text line 343-0106. 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 152 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile Tuesday, Sal. Well, heads up, event going on tonight, and I don't think I'll be able to make it tonight. But I want to tell y'all that last week I got a call, or actually the week before, from the folks with Crawfish in the Courtyard, inviting me to compete in the media crawfish eating contest. Because remember when I threw a little bit of a fit, thought I was being, you know, iced, put on ice on that thing after dominating the competition for the last, what, 3-4 years. They didn't do that to me. They invited me, so everything's on the super. I support them anyways, like I told y'all, because what they do is really pretty awesome. Tonight, Crawfish in the Courtyard, hosted by the Explorium Junior Advisory Board. This goes on from 6 to 8 o'clock, in the 6 to 9 o'clock in the courtyard there at the Explorium. Nice thing about it is you're going to eat a ton of crawfish. Okay, great crawfish too. Have a lot of fun. Check out some live tunes. Get a cold libation. But also, the money. Let's talk about what happens here. The money that's raised tonight helps kids, local kids, go to summer camp at the Explorium. And it's a really great place for children, and it's pretty darn awesome that they have a great event to raise that money. That is tonight, once again, at the Explorium, and it starts at 6, goes till 9. More information, just Google it, Crawfish in the Courtyard, and you can check it out on Facebook, or I think they have a website as well, but I'm looking at it on Facebook. Just search Crawfish in the Courtyard or search the Explorium, and you'll see that. All right, so best of luck with that event tonight. Okay, a couple things. The Del Marsh being out thing, did y'all see that? So, we talked about it some last week. I thought it was interesting because supposedly, either Will Ainsworth, Lieutenant Governor, or Del Marsh, Speaker Pro Tem, was going to throw their name in for Senate 2020, right, to enter the fray. Neither of them have. Okay. And I mean, it might be good since they, you know, one was just elected and one was reelected to office. I mean, it's been something Will Ainsworth just entered last year as Lieutenant Governor and then all of a sudden would start running. But he's not, and nor is Speaker Pro Tem Del Marsh. The Del Marsh thing, and I had Del on the air with us last time I was in Montgomery, it seemed like a foregone conclusion 2-3 months ago that he would make a run at the Senate seat for Alabama. Now it is a zero. It's not happening. I wonder how much of this has to do with the fact that he was the one of the spearheads for the gas tax increase, the infrastructure bill. Now, if he and some there's some other part of this, because when he pushed the infrastructure bill, the word was already out that he was going to run for Senate, which made a lot of us think, okay, well, he's been given some assurances and that some assurances out there that he will be funded. You know, if you do this for us, then you'll be funded and helped out in your Senate run. But he's not in. Will Ainsworth is not in. So those are two of the names that people thought. Go back to that, what was it, the Basin-Dixon poll that came out last week. We're talking about it on, you know, possibilities for 2020. And both names, Will Ainsworth and Del Marsh, were in there. They're neither of them are running. They have said they're not running. Okay, neither of them are in there. But Tommy Tuberville, who had said, who had announced officially he was in the Senate race, was not in there. I thought that was, so they had two names of people that are not in that polling, and a person that had declared himself a candidate, Tommy Tuberville, was not in the poll. It's just, once again, as I said, you know, you can, I mean, the simple thing is to say, well, all polls are lies. Nah, not really. But it does serve you to look at any kind of poll that comes out, whether it's a presidential approval poll, Alabama political poll, local poll, anything like that. Look at the methodology. Look who they asked. And then look at the questions they asked. Were those questions, maybe even not purposely, did they have a lean to them? Did they limit the number of responses to certain people? You know, because if you ask, and Dalton's talked about this before, we had this discussion, if you run a named candidate, this could be in national politics, could be in state politics, could be dog catcher, which I don't know, does anybody run for dog catcher anymore? It could be for dog catcher. If you have a known name and then you have a player to be named later, in other words, if you have a Republican or a Democrat who's the incumbent, and then you say, who do you prefer, that person or a Democrat, Republican, or whatever, to be named later, quite often the person that is named, the incumbent, or even somebody who's running for office, the named person has negatives and positives. The unnamed person just has positives, right? Because there's nothing to, you can just expect what they'll be like. So it's just something that's interesting, the way that polling came out about Senate 2020. We'll keep our eyes on that. And I really think that you're going to see a lot of movement here in the next probably 2 or 3 weeks. And you definitely will see by the time session ends in Montgomery, by the time the legislative session ends here in next month, when that ends, any names that were waiting on the sidelines to get in will probably jump in at that point. And that will make a little more fully rounded list of possible candidates, and we'll keep an eye on it. All right, out of here. I'll be back tomorrow for Mobile Mornings. Paul Feinbaum Show is on the way next. Remember, FMTalk1065.com. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And whenever we figure out how to operate it, we'll put stuff on our Snapchat. Right, I don't know what to snap or chat about, so...